Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tyler Cruz, and you're here listening to the Axel and Cruz Show. We are here to discuss everything in the pro wrestling universe, from WWE to AEW and all the promotions. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the show.
We'll be discussing SummerSlam, since that is the most recent event that happened in the wrestling world right now, and it was a big highlight of the summer as compared to what All Out will be. But I guess let's start off with saying, what was your favorite part of SummerSlam?
I'd say my favorite part had to come from Bray Wyatt and Bray Wyatt's entrance. You know, I'd like to say that a match stood out the most to me, or that was the biggest thing in the show for me, but I'm going to be honest, it all came down to Bray Wyatt and Bray Wyatt's entrance. That was the biggest key moment for me in that event.
I think I'd have to agree with you on that one. It did steal the show. Honestly, right. His entrance was better than half of the matches.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm the whole Dolph Ziggler and Goldberg angle, just because, I mean, Dolph Ziggler has been in this company for how long? He barely has days off. They don't utilize him. But little do they know, Dolph Ziggler could be a secret weapon in pro wrestling, but they don't want to use that. If you would have had Ziggler beat Goldberg, that would be a huge upset. He'd become a huge heel, and he'd be one of the biggest names in pro wrestling right now. But, you know, we got Vince going on here.
Yeah, I mean, Ziggler's proven himself time after time. I mean, he is a great in-ring performer, and even though he's been getting buried constantly by these people, he's still able to keep his name relevant. He just lost to Kofi Kingston for the world title. He blow from Goldberg. I mean, the amount of times that this guy has lost and gotten put under, it's almost, you know, crazy to me that he's still even relevant. He's such a great wrestler that he is. And see, that's where Vince, I think, is going wrong, is because he has a great talent like him, and he's kind of burying them. You know, he's completely burying them.
Yeah, and honestly, he should leave the company because he would thrive somewhere better, but who knows? But, I mean, let's not forget to mention the beginning of the show with Edge. It's the first time we've seen Edge do a spear in how long? How long has it been?
Oh, like, yeah, exactly. That was don't get me wrong, there was some decently booked matches. I enjoyed the Universal title match, Bray Wyatt. The fact that Bray Wyatt was there was cool. Charlotte Flair and Trish Stratus was all right. And then there's kind of some that it was just kind of like, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Some of the choices to me were iffy.
Yeah, overall, it was a pretty predictable SummerSlam. I mean, the exactly. Matchups for the talent that they have now, I think they did okay. I was satisfied with the Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon match. But I mean, that Universal Championship match, in the last 3-4 years, that has to be one of Brock Lesnar's best matches, even though he lost, just because it wasn't a full series of, like, domination. And, like, there's only been three superstars to beat Brock Lesnar twice. And now Seth Rollins being in the modern era, I feel like he ended Brock Lesnar's championship era.
And it wasn't like a Brock-dominated match. It wasn't like a two times and lost right away type of match. It was a legitimate match, hard-fought match between both of them. You know, they put on a great show. Even though Brock got the loss, did he really lose? Because they both put on a great match. And if you put on a great match, you know, whether the outcome, you still can win or lose just by the fact that you were able to go out there and do your job.
Yeah, and like, it had the fans on the edge of their seats, and like, there was moves out of nowhere, like, that would shock you. And you still got the high-flying action that you expect to see in a Seth Rollins match, and he executed that on Lesnar, and that doesn't really happen that much in a Lesnar match. So I was really happy to see the unexpected in that match, and I was satisfied with the ending of SummerSlam as much as I was with watching and viewing SummerSlam, but because, like, the whole middle of the pay-per-view, it just kind of felt like, you know, your typical WWE product.
Like you said, quite frankly, pretty predictable, and it's, you know, that's what I don't like is when I can predict the pay-per-view basically match after match. There's a couple of them that were like, okay, I could see them win. Natalia winning, Canada, hometown, you know. But it's like, I felt like it was the Vince move to not have her win just because of the way that she's pushing Becky. She was just announced as the cover of 2K20. It's just kind of like the typical
Vince way. Yeah, and they make up for that with Edge coming out and doing that speech. Okay, so we were discussing on how the spear from Edge at the beginning of the pay-per-view, I guess, was Vince's way of giving Canada the benefit of the doubt from Natalia losing and Trish losing.
Yeah, Jack. So, I mean, I'm a little surprised to see Charlotte actually win. Just with the return of Trish and everything else, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm also pretty happy with the position of the United States Championship belt currently. I mean, with AJ Styles and the OC behind him, he is making a significant difference with the United States Championship belt.
Next time.
Actually, I wanna pull the Bray Wyatt angle over into Raw and SmackDown just because you didn't see Bray Wyatt on Raw or SmackDown, which leads me to believe he's not gonna be a constant role, but more of an unexpected. When is he gonna pop up? Who will be his next victim? Type thing.
Say that again.
With Bray Wyatt. We didn't see him on Raw or SmackDown, which leads me to believe that he's not going to be there as a steady, but he's going to be like an unexpected, and you don't know who his next victim will be.
Well, I mean, there's a few speculations. One could very well be the recent attacks by Roman Reigns, I believe, could be a thing.
Okay. That's a good one right there.
You got to go big or go home. You know, you got to go big or go home with Bray Wyatt. I don't think that they're going to put him up against some, you know, like Zack Ryder or Curt Hawkins. I think it's got to be, you know, someone that's worthy enough to compete with his gimmick right now. And how
do you think?
You know, how much he's been getting a lot of hype.
Is it possible that he could be the one to end Kofi's championship reign?
See, that is actually a very good point.
Because he is a former WWE champion, correct?
Rollins just won it back from Brock. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I could definitely see that one. I don't know. I have mixed emotions on his finisher with that claw finisher. I feel like it's a little too cheesy.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's not the Sister Abigail, but there should be a signature move he does before doing the claw, because it's just kind of a cheesy way to end a match. Because, I mean, just sticking your hand in your opponent's mouth and they pass out. Like, come on. It could be a little bit more interesting than that. But I like the horror and the spook that's in it.
Right. And I mean, that was Mick Foley's finisher. And what kind of surprised me is that he decided to stop going with the Sister Abigail. I mean, personally, and to not only change it, but to go with the Mandible Claw. I think the Sister Abigail was much more effective as far as like enjoyment for the fans than the Mandible Claw is.
And honestly, he could transition the claw from the Sister Abigail if he wanted to. I feel like it could flow right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, like hit him with the Sister Abigail and then as they're on the ground, like go into the Mandible Claw. Because that gives them a reason to already be fainting and passing out, you know, and then you just choke them out with the Mandible Claw.
Yeah, exactly. I guess there were reports that kids are terrified of the whole new Bray Wyatt character, but they just need to cry a river and get over it.
Yeah, I mean, well, they already said there's sources that were saying that they're already planning on watering Bray Wyatt down. They said that the lantern thing that we've seen at SummerSlam is going to be gone. They don't know if they're going to do much more of like that where the lights go out and all of a sudden the lights start flickering, because I guess a lot of kids or parents are complaining about that with their kids.
Which is honestly ridiculous, but you need to be able to teach your kids that this is entertainment. Exactly. It's not real life. You're just watching like a live action film pretty much.
Well, and I mean, a lot of these parents too, I mean, I'm sure a lot of the dads and whatnot, they've watched wrestling before. They know what wrestling's about. If you really don't want your kid watching it, why are you, you know, you know what it's about. You know what happens.
Exactly.
And it's not like the guy is sitting there with like a chainsaw just sawing people's arms off and everything. You know, it's just flickering lights with a mask. Come on, really?
Come on, Jake the Snake used to bring out a cobra and attack people with it. I mean, that's a little bit more terrifying than Bray Wyatt.
Right.
I guess with that being said, what's your thoughts on the return of the King of the Ring?
What do you think of? I'm happy that they're bringing it back, but to me, this almost seems like a desperation call for WWE and Vince McMahon to bring it back. It almost seems like they're trying to bring some things back from the Attitude Era to kind of reboot themselves in a sense, because obviously they know about AEW, and I don't think it's necessarily WWE's changing their ways yet, but I think they know they have to do something different. And I think bringing the King of the Ring back is one of those things, because they know how bad the ratings are doing.
You cut out there.
I was basically just saying that, you know, WWE, they know how bad their ratings are. And they're kind of desperate for ratings at this point. So what I would say they're trying to do is they're trying to kind of desperately look for something back from the Attitude Era to maybe boost their fan base, or, you know, and such as bringing the King of the Ring back.
Okay. Now, with you mentioning ratings, you have a fan base. You're going to have a constant fan base. Maybe stop focusing so much on trying to get that 3 mil a week. And rock with your 2.5, but put out better content for your 2.5 instead of trying to do desperate things to get the 0.5 million up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, I'm pretty satisfied with Paul Heyman, with his direction of the show.
Yeah. There's been some minor things that have, you can tell, that have changed and that are different. Nothing too drastic, because ultimately Vince isn't going to let anything too drastic happen. But you can tell there's definitely been some minor changes from when Road Dogg was writing script to now Paul Heyman.
Oh, most definitely.
So what do you think about the return of Sasha Banks on Monday Night Raw?
Unfortunately, I was unable to witness her return, but I'm happy with her return.
It was, yeah.
But now,
there's a lot of people that were talking about. Go ahead.
I just hope they don't water her down with her return. You have a big superstar like that return.
Right.
They you need to do something with them. So can she dethrone Becky Lynch or something? Like, otherwise, what's the point at this point? You return one of the biggest women wrestlers in your company. You need to do something with it.
Well, and she actually legitimately did request her release and was denied. So hopefully with them denied, because she still has like about a year left on her contract, hopefully with getting denied, maybe that was a wake-up call to WWE. Like, okay, you know, we either do something with her talent or she's going to be walking out the doors in about a year, just like Ambrose did.
It was the best damn thing for Ambrose. That's all I got to say. I am really sad. I'm really satisfied with his new Jon Moxley role. And I guess with that being said, I know you wanted to cover his recent activity in the G1 Supercard.
Yeah, I mean, so with New Japan, Moxley's been an active wrestler in New Japan, and he started in the G1. He started with, I believe, 2 wins, and then he took 3 straight losses now, and one of those is coming from the Rainmaker, Okada. And I just think it's crazy that Moxley's been taking, you know, losses like this just because I was scared that another promotion bringing in a name like him would just put him over constantly and kind of do the thing.
Yeah.
But they're actually doing the exact opposite. They're treating him as if he's any other talent, which they need to do, you know? He's not untouchable, and that's the thing that WWE's doing wrong. And they're New Japan's already booking Moxley fantastic, and I'm like really excited to see what AEW's going to do with him.
Oh, absolutely, and I mean, the show that he put on with Joey Janela at Fyter Fest was probably one of the most brutal matches I've seen in modern wrestling, mainstream.
Oh, it was, and see, it was an event, a wrestling event hosted by a gaming convention. So I mean, that was just a gaming convention, and they were going all out for it. You know, they just had an absolutely brutal match, and then Joey Janela, props to him too. I mean, they both just gave it all they had.
Oh, absolutely, and that just makes me wonder what we're gonna see in AEW. What extreme lengths are they gonna go to in these pay per views? Because that was like a preview of what is going to be to come.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and also, since we're on the topic of AEW, I have the All Out match card, and I do want to get, like, dabble into All Out a little bit, because, I mean, it's probably, even including WWE, the biggest wrestling event that's happening this month. I would actually put that way over SummerSlam.
Oh, I believe it's going to blow SummerSlam completely out of the water. Completely.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they proved it with Double or Nothing.
So what's the first card then?
Let's take a look here. We have, I don't know if these are necessarily in order, but okay. We have the Women's Casino Battle Royal match. We have, this is the one I'm looking forward to. Triple Threat. It's Joey Janela, Jimmy Havoc, and Darby Allin in a Triple Threat match.
Is that a special stipulation in that? Like a hardcore match?
And by the way, I believe Triple Threat is automatically no DQ.
Okay.
I don't know if same rules apply to AEW because this is new brand. I don't, you know. But this whole match card is completely just freaking stacked to the roof. We have the Best Friends taking on the Dark Order. Winner gets a bye week in the Tag Team Championship Tournament, kind of like sports playoffs or whatever. Cody Rhodes takes on Sean Spears. That one's going to be insane because you've seen the chair shot heard around the world.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, from what I heard, the chair was supposed to break and go around his head and wrap around his neck, and it just did not go that way. But I just hope they take a little bit better precautions so they don't severely injure some of their major talents, especially Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, exactly. It was definitely history making, but that was an unfortunate thing to happen to Cody. I mean, he really took some damage.
Oh, most definitely.
Then we have the AAA Tag Team Championship match between the Lucha Bros and the Young Bucks in a ladder match.
I feel like I'm going to have mixed emotions on who's going to win just because the Young Bucks are part of creative control. But Tony Khan is the final say in what goes down. So maybe we do get the Lucha Bros with kind of an upset here.
See, and I don't think that's too far out there as a prediction because, I mean, the Young Bucks are coming off of multiple wins. They beat the Lucha Bros last time. I think, you know, maybe the Lucha Bros take one.
Yeah, I could most definitely see that. So it's like you're being presented one of the best tag team in the world, but they can still lose. And I feel like that's important for them to do that.
Yeah. And then we have the main event, which will be Chris Jericho versus Hangman Page for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship.
See, now the outcome of this match is truly going to affect how AEW starts up on October 2nd on TNT programming. Because you have Chris Jericho, a pro wrestling legend. He's made his name for himself. He does go around saying there would be no AEW without Jericho. Do you have a legend win and use that to recognize? Or do you take Hangman Page, have him beat Jericho to put him over, and then you have a new young talent sponsoring your business, which needs to happen?
Yeah, exactly. There's two ways of going about this, okay? It's basically, if you want to play the market game, you go with the safe bet and you give it to Jericho. But if you want to do the, if you want to build a reputation and a name for a superstar right out the gate, and you want to define your AEW as AEW and not WWE knockoff, I think the option would be to go with Hangman Page. Because Hangman Page, you know, he's about 28 years old. He's in his prime. AEW is just coming around.
I got a lot of the ones that are from the 15th.
Hangman done. Over. But I do understand the marketing strategy with having Jericho win it.
Yeah, the marketing strategy is definitely beneficial for Jericho to win it. But with Cody Rhodes and their smarts, I really hope they go with Hangman Page.
I completely 100% agree. And now, just to officially wrap this up, I do have one more thing that I think we both need to cover.
Before you go into that, we missed one huge match, and I think it's my most anticipated match for the event. And that is Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega.
Oh, yeah, excuse me. Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised I skipped that one on there. Oh, yeah, Moxley and Omega. That's why when I was saying about Moxley losing three straight in the G1, I'm like, well, okay, the wrestling world's knowing Moxley now. He's gotten wins, he's gotten losses, he's coming off with three straight L's. What does AEW do with Moxley?
Well,
it's his debut match. Or not his debut match, but his one of his first big matches, you know?
What was that you cut out there?
I was like, it's John, one of John Moxley's first legitimately huge big matches against Kenny Omega, arguably the best wrestler in the entire world. What does AEW do with that? Who do they put over?
Honestly, I can't even call a prediction on this one, except for the fact that I would probably...
Neither can I.
Honestly. I'm probably going to pick Moxley over it. But that's just my biased opinion.
Yeah. I mean, that for me, the safe bet, I would have to, you know, say Moxley, but is it really a safe bet, though? Because it's like Kenny Omega's got such ties to the Rhodes. He was like a founding father to this company. It's all out. This is their last event before they premiere on TNT. It is a 50-50 toss-up. It's almost like flipping a coin.
Yeah. But I do think Moxley has more, like, publicity and fans. So maybe if they do put Omega over, it's going to make Omega more relevant and known.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
But that last topic that you wanted to discuss about All Out being in Chicago and noise, that's going to have to be about CM Punk, isn't it? I do feel like that we should bring up the possibility of CM Punk. But with his involvement in UFC right now, it might just not happen. But if CM Punk was joining AEW, this would be the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of talk about Punk and Punk's return for many years now. It's been about 6 years since he's been in a WWE ring. CM Punk
almost definitely. We could do a whole show. We could do a whole show on Punk.
He is the most talked about wrestler in the wrestling world. Not I would say John Moxley is the current, but he's been the most hottest topic for the last few years. And people have been anticipating him. Now, I get it. If it happens, I could see it happening. This would be the time to do it. Do I agree with it? Not necessarily. A lot of people are going to disagree with it. I have my legitimate reasons of why I do not agree.
Are you there?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah. Yep. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did. We're gonna be reaching our. I want to keep these podcasts here under 30 minutes. That way, viewers don't get too bored of us. But is there any last words or things you would like to discuss before we end this and wrap this up?
Well, basically, as far as AEW, I could see the CM Punk thing happening, and I understand why. They're trying to build a reputation. I completely get it. But do I agree with it? I do not. I have many reasons we can discuss, you know, about that. But ultimately, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand where they're coming from as a marketing point of view. If they can get CM Punk, go do it. You know, if they can't, so be it. They're going to make it with or without.
In my humble opinion, I want Punk to be there, but if he's not there, I'm not gonna be like upset. Like, I'm not going to look at AEW any differently because I know AEW is going to rise to the top in pro wrestling, period. I have no doubts.
Exactly. So Punk is just going to be fans.
I guess with all that being said, I say we wrap this up.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. I think this was a great topic. We covered some great points.
We most definitely did. And to our viewers, stay tuned for next week's episode on the Axel and Cruz Show. All right, Axel, you have a great evening.
See ya.